Welcome to The Hobcast, a weekly podcast from Hoback Books, an independent publisher of thrillers, crime, and suspense novels. Each week, we'll take you behind the scenes of what we do, the challenges and the triumphs, the bumps and troughs of building a new creative business in this pandemic world. We'll hear from the people who make all this possible, the authors, cover designers, and editors, and we'll have expert insights from our guest star interviews. Nothing is off the agenda on The Hobcast from Hoback Books, as we combined trad values and an indie spirit.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to The Hobcast. I've lost all track of what number it is. I think it's 78.
78?
It is 78.
I think it's 78.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, as you can hear from our voices, we're in completely different places.
We're many miles apart, aren't we?
We are. I'm sat in the Hoback kitchen, which is the hub of Hoback operations. And you are sat where?
I am sat in a Range Rover with a black Labrador behind me in Asda Car Park in Holyhead.
Which is in Anglesey, in Wales.
This is in Anglesey. Yes, in
now,
Wales.
Just to explain to everyone, well, first of all, we ought to say who we are, and then we'll explain the context of what's going on. So I'm Adrian Hobart.
I'm Rebecca Collins.
Together we run Hoback Books, and we are UK independent publishers of the following genres.
Thrillers. Oh, I can't help doing it in that accent.
Crime.
Suspense.
And mystery. Well, welcome to the show. And a little later, I'm going to be taking you behind the scenes at the CWA Daggers, which were held this week in London, which I attended, alongside Mark Whiteman, who was nominated for the John Creasy New Blood Award. And you'll have to wait till the end of the programme to find out whether he won or not.
Yeah, and I think you were desperate for the loo by then too, weren't you? So you were like, oh, come on, hurry up.
So we don't have a big feature interview. We do speak to one or two of the key figures from the CWA and the from the ceremony. That'll come a little bit later. But this, I guess, will be one of our shorter episodes, which is probably no bad thing, given that they usually stretch to nearly 2 hours, and like a Bruce Springsteen concert. But maybe not this week. So why have you run away from...
I'm under a time limit because I've got until my mother, sister and brother finish shopping in Asda.
Okay, well, we better get a crack on. And just explain why you're in Wales.
Okay, that's a really good question. I'm here for a week and I'm on holiday with my mum, my sister and my brother, as I mentioned, and three dogs. Now, we've done this, except when we were growing up. We go on holiday every year to Wales, but since then, since we all left home and had children, we've done this three times now, and it's become a bit of a tradition every sort of 5 or 10 years or so, where we all get together, but no add-ons, no children, no partners, nothing, nobody else, just as it was in the 1980s. And we're here for a week in a little cottage with one toilet, which has been interesting so far, and very low water pressure, again, very interesting so far. But it's been good so far. We've been to the sea a lot, and we're exploring Holyhead today, but there really isn't much to see. It's a very sad little town.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's somewhere you pass through and get on a ferry to go somewhere better, some would argue, but poor old Holyhead.
But there I are feel very sorry for Holyhead, actually. It's really down and out.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's just one of those areas which really brings home the economic reality of modern Britain, away from the bright lights of London, where I was this week. But it's been let's go through our week first before we go into some news. It's been a really tricky week. I had a bit of a disastrous week, really, certainly in the build-up to going to London. And several factors involved here. The main one was my accommodation that I'd planned fell through. And that had unexpected consequences. And the issue is that London, with Wimbledon, various gigs and all sorts of things going on, there are no hotels for less than several hundred pounds, unless you want to stay in a backpacker's hostel in a shared room for 18 people. Yeah. And then, you know, even looking further afield, travel lodges, which, yeah, realistically, you wouldn't expect to pay more than about 80 quid for, were charging £350 to £400 a night. So eventually I ended up in a rather rough and ready one in Slough. It did mean I missed the self-publishing show, which I had planned to go to for at least one of the days at the South Bank Centre. I missed that completely and just concentrated on making sure we made it to the CWA Daggers, which I duly did. But even then I managed to mess up by going to the wrong hotel, because there are two Leonardo hotels at Tower Hill.
That's quite an achievement, isn't it? I mean, when you told me you were at the wrong hotel, I thought, is that possible?
Yeah, I know. It was really, I just thought everything's conspiring. You know, I'm in a hotel in Slough, which cost a fortune anyway. And I arrived at the event after the drinks, which started at 6. So I got there at 7 and everyone's making their way into the dining hall. And, you know, I get a brief sort of greeting from our party of three, which was Ewan Thornycroft, who's the agent of Mark Whiteman, Mark and his wife Lillian. And we were plonked straight into dinner and we weren't able to get up from our table for about 3.5 hours because the ceremony and the food took so long.
Now that is painful, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was so hot in there. People were fanning themselves trying to stay upright. I'd gone a very bright colour red, and my little Apple Watch has a function which tells me that my heart rate is too high for the level of activity. So I'm sat there with a heart rate of 130, which is what I normally have when I'm running or charging around a tennis court. And I'm just sat there trying not to expire. So I'm sort of making this sound a bit dowdy, but you know, I was proud to be there. I was proud to be in my glad rags with my tiger bow tie and tiger pocket.
You look very dapper.
Yeah, I tried. And then we went through the ceremony itself. And well, I mean, to cut a long story short, I mean, there were some shocks, it has to be said. The overall winner of the Gold Dagger, Ray Celestine, caused audible gasps in the room. It already won the historic book Dagger for historic novels, that was really quite a sort of moment really in the room. It was quite striking. But I'll bring you some of those sort of moments. I recorded it all a little bit later, but obviously disappointment when it came to our category, which was the John Creasy New Blood Award, which Mark was up for Waking the Tiger. Unfortunately, didn't get it. And then the judge, head judge of that panel, I think this is a bit churlish, but perhaps on my part or perhaps on their part, but to tell everybody that it was a unanimous decision to award it to Janice Hallett's The Appeal, kind of twists the knife a little bit for those who've been shortlisted.
Yeah, it's unnecessary, really, isn't it, to say that? You don't need to say that.
No, I don't think it was needed to be said. I think that's just bad form, actually. Mm. And yes, it's a very successful and great book. And I spoke to Janice, as you'll hear, a little bit later. But
I've read it. It's a brilliant book. It was a trailblazer, if I can say that. You know, there was nothing of its kind when it came out, and there have been elements of that in books published since. And it was unique at the time. It was original. So, a very deserving winner.
Absolutely. But yeah, I think I don't think I was alone in thinking that's, you know, not really the done thing.
Yeah, it's a bit unkind in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But there's some great people there at the awards. And as I say, I caught up with one or two of them towards the end. I was rushing off for a train and then the tubes packed up and I barely scraped back to Slough. Thank goodness it's a place with late trains till about 2:30 in the morning, because I took advantage of all of that. I was getting very stressed trying to get away from the ceremony. It just reminds me of, you know, London has many marvels, but sometimes it can be very, very challenging. So, it's been a quite a week, and now we're apart, which is really odd.
I know. And I don't know, especially today, I'm really feeling it today, because when we tried to do the Zoom earlier, it just wasn't working. My sister's back with two baguettes. So, yes, it's tricky. It's tricky, but...
It is.
More to come, because you're going off to Scotland next weekend.
Well, there were plans, but they're scrapped fully. So, I'm going off to the golf, but that's...
The golf I'm talking about,
That's a week... Not this coming weekend, the weekend after, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think. I can't remember.
Yes,
it's my dad's birthday this week. I've got to remember that. So that is tomorrow, my dad's birthday, and I completely forgotten. So I better go up there and make a fuss of him.
Yeah.
But, these things, they slip my mind. So it's been so busy. But let's look at some news. And you've picked these articles out, but I'm the one who can access them.
Yeah, and, unfortunately.
And there was quite a lot of mention of National Crime Reading Month on the stage at the Daggers, because obviously it's partially organised Crime Reading Month in the UK by the CWA, the Crime Writers Association, and alongside the Reading Agency. And they're claiming that this has been the most impactful and successful to date, with 80 million people reached through coverage on social media and on the national media. And over 80 events were held under the aegis of National Crime Reading Month. So, yeah, that's encouraging. We've done our bit as well, as best we can.
Yeah, we did. We tried. Yeah, I wonder how they measure all that, though.
I know.
Can they measure how many people are reading more crime books during June?
I don't think, you know, the figures will be, you know, they'll know that. And they were obviously judging it on the basis of, you know, if you look at the total numbers of people who read the Telegraph or listen to the BBC, they probably reached it. I think it's nonsense myself. It, you know, easy to put these figures out. But I applaud the effort.
Yeah, me too.
So, and, you know, some of the biggest names were at that award ceremony, the ones that, I mean, for instance, Mark Billingham won the Dagger in the Library Awards for the most lens of a crime book or crime novelist, which is something that he really, really treasured. He was very, very pleased to win that. But
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, you know, the Crime Writers Association is a very important sort of anchor point for the whole industry, really. And I think it you know, almost any other sector in the industry, there's no sort of body stronger than the CWA in terms of promoting a particular genre and the breadth of diversity of you know, the approaches to writing crime. So that was very evident from the awards ceremony. I have a lot of time for it.
Me too. We do something every year, don't we, to at least acknowledge it.
Absolutely. Now it's saying it's exclusive content, so I can't get into the next article. What was that next
article? I don't remember now. What was it about?
No, I cannot. That's a shame. I simply cannot access it because my phone is packed up on logging in. So that is no good. I'm terribly sorry about that. How unprofessional.
Well, technology beat you, so...
Yeah, it did. We have so many problems trying to get in on that bookseller website, it has to be said.
Oh, it's a bane of my life. And we actually have the physical copy, and I thought I'd brought it with me. And no, I can't find it with all my luggage.
Oh, well, doesn't matter.
Preparation.
This whole cast is atypical, I have to say. If you're coming to us for the first time, this is not how we normally operate. We're normally together, and we're normally a little bit better organised, but never mind. And
I
usually
think people need to appreciate, though, that trying to find somewhere in Holyhead to record this podcast was beyond extremely difficult. It was impossible. Asda car park was the only place.
Yeah, and you're using your work Wi-Fi dongle to make the link, which, you know, we're grateful to. Okay, let's go into events then at the CWA Daggers. What you're going to hear is a little digest of some of the award nominations and being announced on stage, and then some of the reaction that I gathered at the end. And, you know, I did snatch just a few voices, as you'll hear, from the sort of the great and good that were collected there. And I have to say that it was difficult to judge what tone to approach because, as you'll hear, I grab a disappointed Abir Mukherjee, who's a great guy, one of our friends, one of the friends of the show. And perhaps I misjudged the tone. I hasten to add, I mean, I had a couple of drinks, so, you know, do forgive me for that. But let's take you over to the Leonardo City Hotel in Tower Hill. And,
the right hotel this time.
Yeah, exactly. And here are some of the sights and sounds of that event.
Next, we come to the Dagger in the Library, an award given for body of work by an established crime writer who has long been popular with borrowers from UK libraries.
The winner is Mark Billingham.
Thank you very much. This is lovely. Notably because it's an award that has the word library in it. There isn't really any writer, or at least any writer worth talking about, who is not a reader, first and foremost. And many of those writers, and I'm sure there are many of them in this room, did not grow up in a house full of books. I certainly didn't. And if it wasn't for the weekly trips to my local library with my mum, who was keen to get the latest Sidney Sheldon or Harold Robbins, I wouldn't be standing here. I want to thank the librarians who put this in my hand, thank you very much. The librarians at King's Heath Library in Birmingham, big shout out to them, because I wouldn't be here. And all the other librarians who work up and down the country, a lot of them, shockingly, as volunteers. Because if we want to encourage those people who are currently growing up in houses without books, who will turn into readers, who will then turn into writers, we need to cherish libraries, support libraries, and above all, not let any of them close. Thank you very much indeed.
Without further ado, the shortlist for the CWA Publishers Dagger. Faber and Faber, you're allowed to whoop. Harper Fiction, an imprint of HarperCollins. Michael Joseph. Michael Joseph, an imprint of Random House. Pushkin Vertigo, an imprint of Pushkin Press. Titan Books. Viper, an imprint of Viper Books. And as I announce the winner, let me just mention some of the reasons that they have been selected. They have a whopping 6 nominations on the Dagger long lists. They consistently manage to achieve the difficult balancing act between literary quality and commercial appeal. And they punch above their weight. As an indie, their war chest is smaller than most, but they have been wonderful at nurturing talent and, most importantly, keeping faith with their authors who have gone on to become household names. Ladies and gents, the winner of the CWA Dagger for the Best Crime and Mystery Publisher of the Year is Faber and Faber.
Order as usual. Tariq Ashkenani for Welcome to Cooper from Thomas and Mercer. Eloisa Diaz for Repentance from Weidenfels and Nicholson Orion. Alan Gillespie, The Mash House from Unbound. Janice Hallett, The Appeal from Profile. Karen Norden, Where Ravens Roost from the HQ imprint of HarperCollins. Rahul Raina, How to Kidnap the Rich from Little Brown, and Mark Whiteman, Waking the Tiger from Hobeck Books. But tonight's winner was different, refreshing, and had that all-important critical ingredient, for me at least, of being propped up on one elbow with the light on at 2 in the morning, still reading. And that winner, unanimous from us, was Janice Hallett.
Judges for selecting The Appeal. There are so many people behind this book. I feel embarrassed standing up here on my own. My editor, Miranda Dues, my lovely agents, Skylar Banks and Lucy Fawcett at Sheer Land, Drew Jerrison, Flora Willis, the wonderful team at Viper, Tabeen Cavalha and Gabby Lee at Waterstones for spotting the potential of The Appeal. And helping it become one of the store's best-selling thrillers of the month ever. and also, well, all the reviewers, interviewers, podcasters, bloggers, events organisers, booksellers and readers who supported the book. And I've also got to say a huge thanks to the one person I missed off my list, and that's my husband Gary, who's here tonight. So, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Each of these books had one or more passionate advocates amongst the judges, but one had to be chosen above all others. So without further ado, I'd like to announce the winner of this year's Golden Daggers Award is Ray Celestine.
Well, Abby, you were up for the gold.
Yes.
Didn't quite get it this time.
Oh, exactly, yeah. But I've had a good time.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot to drink, which is always good. So, yeah, I'll be back next time.
What do you think of the winner, then?
I haven't read the book, but I know it's a great book because Ray Celestine is a fantastic writer. And all credit to him and congratulations.
Yeah, and in terms of coming back to a CWA awards dinner, good to be back, isn't it?
It is. It's always nice to be out and amongst friends, as long as I don't get COVID. That's the main thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of it about. Yeah, good to see you too. Janice Hallett, congratulations on winning the John Creasy Award tonight.
Thank you very much. I don't know whether you're expecting to get many words out of me. I'm so shocked and surprised to win this. I don't know what to say.
It was brilliant. A great award. I mean, one of our books was up for it, but you've eaten. So Mark Whiteman, Waking the Tiger, we'll forgive you. But congratulations. I mean, what do you... You've now toured this book and you've spoken to a lot of your readers. What do you think has really scored such a... made such an impact on those readers?
Well, listening to people, I think they like something different, and the appeal is told in a slightly different way. It's told through emails and through texts, and it makes a change, and I think that instantly engages the mind. I mean, that's all I can think it must be. But no, I've been talking to people has been absolutely wonderful on social media, at festivals, in bookshops. Speaking to readers has made my career as a writer so far. It's been absolutely wonderful.
In terms of where you go from here, does this give you extra confidence, or does it weigh down on you because, you know, this is a major book that was very successful and now won this award?
I have to say more confidence.
Yeah.
Because it's just so wonderful. It's like validation, isn't it? That what you're doing is good and that people are enjoying it. Confident. I certainly feel confident now. I mean, give me a few more months when I'm in the middle of my structural edit. Maybe I won't be quite so confident. Well, but at this moment, I am.
Hearty congratulations. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Chris Brookmeyer, yes, the Hobcast Book Show from Hobeck Books. So we had Mark Whiteman up for John Creasy tonight.
Yeah.
But Chris, I mean, you've been a veteran of these events and all the festivals. How did you rate tonight coming back together up to 3-year hiatus?
It felt much hotter than the online events. I was able to ventilate my own room when I was watching at home. Great to be back in a room with everybody. And delighted for my friend Mark Billingham to pick up the dagger in the library. We had a running competition for years about who could clock up the most CWA nominations without ever winning a dagger, and I dropped out of that by winning the dagger in the library on one of those Zoom events, and Mark's won it tonight, so I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, it's great for Mark, and I guess you'll be at Harrogate coming up.
I will. I'm really looking forward to Harrogate. Last year Harrogate felt like this kind of oasis of normality after the years we'd had. But I'm particularly proud this will be the first year that my wife has come with me to Harrogate for the last several festivals, but this year she'll be on a panel with me, and that as Ambrose Parry, and that means a lot to both of us, because Harrogate's been such a big part of our year down the years, and when you come up with something like Ambrose Parry writing a book together, you think, will this ever work? So it feels like a kind of watershed moment. It's like, if you've made it onto the panel at Harrogate, you know you've really achieved something.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is the who's who if you get invited onto there. But you can't take it for granted, surely. I mean, it's you've got to keep writing fresh stuff, as indeed you both have.
Oh, yeah, that's really what keeps us going. I mean, the lockdown, the first lockdown, we wrote A Corruption of Blood during that, and that's kind of what kept us sane, because we had something to talk about all the time. If you're writing a book together, you always have something to discuss during what we called the great patter drought of 2020, because there was nothing else to talk about.
Yeah. Well, it's great to meet you. Great to see you. We'll see you at Harrogate.
Yeah, see you at Harrogate.
I'm joined by Vaseem Khan, who is co-chair of the CWA. This is a big deal to get this back on the road properly, because you've been on Zoom for a couple of years. This must feel great to bring everyone together in one room at last.
Well, it's just nice not to see everybody's Zoom half-naked avatars or cats on skateboards. For me, as the vice chair of the CWA, I think as an organisation, it was incredibly important for us to get back to business as usual. And it's been a fabulous event. We've had a full house at a really wonderful venue, and the list of nominees was fantastic, as was the winners. Great meal, great company, a few jokes on stage, which is exactly what you want from an evening like this. We're crime writers, and unlike, say, our literary cousins, we tend to know how to have a good time.
Yeah. Oh, that's very true. You only have to go to Harrogate to find that out, for sure. In terms of the breadth of the entries this year, I mean, it looked incredibly diverse. I mean, I'm not talking just about the nature of the authors, but the subjects covered and the approaches to crime writing.
Well, the dreaded D word is going through the industry, and I don't mean drunkenness, I mean diversity. And you know what? The CWA and crime fiction in general has been leading the charge in terms of trying to open the doors so that more people who have stories to tell that are beyond the traditional have a chance to get in and tell those stories. And for me, as someone from that kind of background who spent 20 odd years trying to get published, and as a Dagger winner last year, I can honestly say that not just the CWA, but the crime fiction industry in general is a wonderful fraternity. We're a bit like the Amish. You know, we don't build enough barns to get the barns together, and we don't milk enough cows together, but we are a genuine community, and we support each other, and we want to see a level playing field. And I honestly believe that there are lots and lots of people within the industry who are trying their absolute best to do that.
I told you it would be brief.
It's very valuable. There. And some amazing people who we would love to have the podcast properly.
Yeah.
And of course, we've had our beer, but it's a little snippet of what may come in the future, maybe.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was great. And, you know, I was able to sort of get around the room towards the end as people were sort of piling off towards taxis and tube. to sort of say, look, let's have a proper chat at Harrogate. So, that's very, very soon round the corner. So
it's three weeks away, isn't it? So yeah, exactly. And there's much more scope for having a proper conversation there, because you did a good job, I think, considering the circumstances to get anything.
Yeah, because I was just conscious of the fact that that I had a train to catch myself. And it was, it was not easy. It was not easy, but I can make excuses, but it was tough. So the week ahead is going to be a weird one, not having you here driving the ship. I did promise that I was going to tidy up Hoebeck Towers, and I have made a start this morning. But the scale of the task is slightly daunting. Once you start, you realise, oh my God, and that was only one corner of our bedroom. Just how much there is to straighten out. So I'm going to persevere.
That's the problem with that sort of task, isn't it? It's like opening a can and everything falling out. So it gets worse before it gets better.
It will. Yeah, it will. I mean, there's so much to do, but it's going to be valuable for us all, for the whole family, really. Unfortunately, the cat is not feeling her best. So I went to the cricket yesterday at Edgbaston and came back to find quite a lot of evidence of her not being very well around the house. I'm a bit worried about her. She's off her food, which is not like her. So, fingers crossed.
No, I mean, this has happened before when she's eaten a dodgy mouse. So it could be that, because she did catch a mouse, didn't she?
She did.
So hopefully she'll get better. So you're in charge, though. Just keep an eye on her and give her lots of love.
Yeah, right. I'll do my best to give some Aki some love, which is, counterintuitive, frankly.
I think we have. I think we take the first left up there.
Well, we're just trying to work out how to get back.
Jolly good.
So my week is probably going to be waking up at 6 o'clock, running to the beach, playing on the beach with the dogs, playing in the water, and going back. And so all done by 7 a.m. I've done a mile run, 2 mile walk.
Yeah.
And then just sort of pottering around Anglesey, I think, as far as my poor mum can walk. She's struggling a little bit.
Oh, dear. Not easy at all.
And Bob as well. So Bob is a spaniel, and he's 11 years old, and he's got a lot of enthusiasm, but he's got old legs. And so he gets a bit tired too. But as for Doris, Doris is a delight. So Doris is a little black lab, isn't she? Yeah, she's a black lab, and she's beautiful. She's one year old, and she's full of life and full of energy, and she just loves the world, everything. She loves the sea, she loves walking, she loves poo, she loves food, she loves people. So I'm having a good doggy week.
Fantastic. Well, I will keep the home fires burning here. Plenty of things to do Hoback-wise, for sure. And we will be back in person again next week when we have our journalism special, which we recorded at Crimefest.
Yes, looking forward to that one.
That's right.
We'll record our bit back at home when I'm back.
Yeah, I can't wait, to be honest. I had had plans to sort of go gallivanting around the UK myself, but I'm going to shelve those because I can see the scale of the task here. And to be honest, I'm just fed up with driving everywhere at the moment. So I think Newport is as far as I'm prepared to go, apart from seeing my dad tomorrow. So,
I can assure you, Newport is better than Holyhead. Holyhead was not up to much at all. We didn't find anything. There was no cafes. They were all shut. Two charity shops that looked like they'd been there for centuries.
Oh, dear. Poor Holyhead. It has a retail park, which you found. So that's something.
Yeah, I think I better go because they're keen to get back.
Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us again, all of you, for joining us on the Hobcast Book Show. Don't forget to go to our website, www.hobeck.net. for all details of our authors, our books, our audiobooks, and everything else Hoback. And maybe sign up to our mailing list, because you've been sending newsletters from Wales, which I'm sure were a big hit. So thanks, Rebecca, for joining us.
That's okay. It's been a pleasure from Asda.
You've been Rebecca Collins.
I have.
And I've been Adrian Hobart. And together, this has been the Hobcast Book Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us again, same time next week. But between now and then, you know the form. Have a lovely, wonderful, and creative week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Hobcast from Hoback Books with Adrian Hobart and Rebecca Collins. You can find the show notes at our website, www.hobeck.net. You can also use the exclusive Hobcast discount code for any of the products at our Hoback online store. Just enter the code HOBCAST20 for a 20% discount. Don't forget to subscribe to the Hobcast and feel free to contact us with any feedback. Until next time, remember our motto, Trad Values, Indie Spirit.